evening and welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and I'll be with you for the next hour as we listen to formerly lost compositions of the pianist Herbie Nichols, who died at the age of 44 in 1963, and talk with the co-leader of the Herbie Nichols Project, Frank Kimbrough. It's Strange City, the secret music of Herbie Nichols, tonight on Nightlights. Here's a story about the pianist Herbie Nichols told by musician Roswell Rudd. Herbie Nichols and I first crossed paths in the early spring of 1960. It was at a jam session in Dick Rath's loft. Dick had known Herbie for some time, and along with Bobby Pratt and a whole gang of people, they were having one hell of a party. By the time I got there, the euphoria was well underway, and everyone was pouring himself out into a wild collective thing that was starting to have its moments. In the middle of all this, Bobby, who'd been playing piano all night, felt like playing some trombone. He vacated the piano bench, and with the music still going on, a very tall and reserved gentleman took charge of the piano. I had no idea who he was. I had never laid eyes on the man before, and I was busy trying to find a part for myself in the din. Playing along, I gradually became aware that the whole harmonic idiom had shifted, and everyone, including myself, had changed up his style. The magic was in those chords coming from the piano, in the context of which I found myself thinking more carefully about each note I played and started reaching for ideas that had never occurred to me until then. The unknown pianist had since vanished into the night, and still the music continued to play on in the way that he had affected it. His was a gentle spell cast almost imperceptibly by degrees, but all the music thereafter remained suspended in a new and unusual vein.
Thank you.
The Herbie Nichols Project, performing Herbie Nichols' unrecorded, previously unrecorded composition, Moments Magical, from the Palmetto CD Strange City, featuring Ben Allison on bass, Ron Horton on trumpet, Ted Nash on tenor saxophone, Michael Blake on soprano saxophone, Wycliffe Gordon on trombone, and Matt Wilson on drums. In his lifetime, pianist Herbie Nichols recorded only a handful of albums, mostly for the Blue Note label, all done in the mid-1950s. Lauded only by a small circle of fellow musicians, gentle and interested in nearly everything, Nichols inhabited a lonely but shimmering world of musical vision. When he died of leukemia in 1963, he left behind a large number of unrecorded compositions. Pianist Frank Kimbrough, on hearing Herbie Nichols' records for the first time, 22 years after Nichols' death.
I heard his music on WKCR here in New York. They do birthday broadcasts from time to time. They'll take a musician on his birthday and they'll play maybe 3 hours of his music. So that was what happened. January the 3rd, 1985 was his birthday. I'd never heard his music before. I'd heard of him. And so they played his music and I was home. It was snowing. I didn't want to go out. I stayed on. The minute I heard the music, I put a tape in the recorder and recorded the show, and I knew it was real special because it's different, you know. There's a lot of information there. There are a lot of influences there. A lot of there's the West Indian music of his parents. You hear that in there. You hear bebop in there. You hear the influences of Bartok or Prokofiev or more modern composers like that. You hear that. You hear Teddy Wilson. He was fascinated with Jelly Roll Morton. He was fascinated with African music. So you hear all that stuff in there, but it's all sort of integrated into this beautiful style.
Kimbrough began to transcribe and play some of Nichols' recorded work. Later on, trumpeter Ron Horton would discover copies of previously unknown Nichols tunes at the Library of Congress. Other tunes came via Nichols' friends and colleagues, or even through mailings from anonymous Nichols devotees. As the material, both known and unknown, accumulated, Kimbrough and fellow jazz composer collective artist Ben Allison began to conceive of the Herbie Nichols Project, a vehicle to not only record the music Nichols himself never got to, but to give it the kind of interpretation that Nichols had often sought unsuccessfully.
And he never recorded with horns, but he always wanted to. So I thought, well, what would it be like? And I would take these sessions in. First, it was just me and Ben playing them. We'd get together and play, and he really liked the tune. So then some other guys would come in. We'd do a quartet or a quintet session, and we'd pass the tunes around, and, you know, everybody was really loving it. But nobody knew who he was, you know. It was like that. So I had learned all these tunes back in the 80s when I had a solo piano gig. So for me, I was familiar with them, and now I was turning these other guys onto them. And I thought, well, this is a great thing for the collective because it's, in a sense, this guy is, he's unknown. So it was a great way for us to kind of touch base with the tradition of the music without playing stuff that was overplayed. And it was a good way to get his music out there, and we all had a ball with it, and we were all turning each other on to it and turning other musicians on to it.
So far, the Herbie Nichols Project has recorded 3 albums, Love is Proximity and Dr. Cyclops' Dream for Soul Note, and most recently, Strange City for the Palmetto label. Frank Kimbrough on one of the Herbie Nichols compositions from that album, Delights.
That's a tune that we kind of played around with a little bit. There was a long intro that Herbie wrote for that that we kind of lopped that off. We didn't play it. But, you know, usually we really try hard to keep the integrity of the tune at the same time putting our own stamp on it. There was just something about the intro that was written that we didn't really find to be particularly as great as the rest of the tune. So the body of the tune is all there. But it was written in 4-4, as I recall, and I think we played it in more of a 6-8 kind of feel or something.
The Herbie Nichols Project with Delights from their 2001 Palmetto release, Strange City. Frank Kimbrough on piano, Ben Allison on bass, Ron Horton on trumpet, Ted Nash on tenor saxophone, Michael Blake on soprano saxophone, Wycliffe Gordon on trombone, and Matt Wilson on drums. The Herbie Nichols Project performed live for the first time in January of 1994. In 1996, they recorded their debut CD, Love is Proximity, focusing mostly on music that Nichols himself had recorded in his lifetime, with one exception. Frank Kimbrough talks about the title track.
Love is Proximity, of course, it's a title cut from our first record, and that was among the tunes that Ron brought back from the Library of Congress on his first trip down. And, you know, the minute we played it, we knew that it was a gem. And it's a tune that, Ben recorded it also with Medicine Wheel on his Third Eye record, I believe. So we've recorded it twice. First time on the Love is Proximity record, and then on Third Eye with Medicine Wheel. And we play it live almost every time we play, because people just love it. Just a beautiful tune. It's written in 9/4, which is sort of an odd time signature. But it's a really interesting form. It's a little different from your standard AABA form. It's AABAA. And it's just a beautiful tune. Thank you.
The Herbie Nichols Project performing Love is Proximity from their Soul Note CD of the same name. The first album recorded by the Herbie Nichols Project in 1996. Frank Kimbrough on piano, Ted Nash on tenor sax, Ron Horton on trumpet, Ben Allison on bass, and Jeff Ballard on drums. In 1999, the Herbie Nichols Project released its second CD, Dr. Cyclops' Dream. This time the focus was almost entirely on Nichols' unrecorded compositions, the seemingly lost and sadly secret body of work that he'd left behind. Frank Kimbrough on the album's lead track, Bartok.
That came from Ann Phillips, who found it in a file cabinet one day. It just kind of popped out at some point during the 80s, I think. She found it. And we adapted that somewhat, too. We didn't really mess with it too much. We changed the form a bit. But the basic material from the original lead sheet is all there. But, you know, with some of these things we do, like we may reharmonize things or put things over a pedal point or try different things. There was one tune that we did called Swan Song that that Ben arranged, and it was written in 4/4, but he wrote it out in 5/4, and he made some harmonic changes in it and things like that. But generally, you know, the tunes are so great, they don't really have to be messed with too much. Thank you.
The Herbie Nichols Project, performing Herbie Nichols' composition Bartok from the 1999 Soul Note CD, Dr. Cyclops' Dream, Frank Kimbrough on piano, Ben Allison on double bass, Ron Horton on trumpet, Ted Nash and Michael Blake on saxophones, and Tim Horner on drums. For one track on Dr. Cyclops' Dream, Kimbrough and trumpeter Ron Horton played a Nichols piece as a piano-trumpet duet.
Bebop Waltz was a tune that he wrote, I think, in the early 50s, and he actually sent that tune to Mary Lou Williams, and Mary Lou recorded it as Mary's Waltz. So she changed the title and I believe actually took credit for composing it as well, which wasn't all that uncommon in those days. That happened quite frequently. I actually have a letter where Herbie had met Mary Lou and had sent her some of his tunes. I believe they were actually introduced by Monk. Monk introduced Herbie to Mary Lou. So Herbie sent three or four tunes to Mary Lou, along with this beautiful letter that he wrote her. And the good people there at the Jazz Institute at Rutgers photocopied the whole shoot and match, the tunes and the letter and everything, and sent it to me.
Herbie Nichols' Bebop Waltz, performed by Frank Kimbrough on piano and Ron Horton on flugelhorn for the Herbie Nichols Project's 1999 Soul Note CD, Dr. Cyclops' Dream. Although Herbie Nichols was of the bebop generation, he didn't really fit into that world. Frank Kimbrough on Nichols' persona.
Everybody that I've ever spoken with that knew him loved him. He was, I think, a very gentle, well-read, chess-playing, you know, part of the reason why he maybe wasn't as famous as he could have been was he was a little too square for the bebop crowd. Those guys, you know, so many of them were experimenting with drugs and doing crazy things, and Herbie was the kind of guy that wouldn't think of going to a gig without shaving first, you know, and having a nice starched white shirt and a tie and a jacket, you know. So he was very sort of a proper gentleman like that. And I think the bebop guys were just a little too wild for him. And maybe that contributed somewhat to his lack of recognition.
In addition to his compositional work, Nichols also wrote poetry. Frank Kimbrough.
It's interesting to see the poetry because I think it gives you some insight into his... It gives you some insight into his general bearing. It gives you insight into the time in which he was living in New York, because he writes a lot about New York and about the sights and sounds of the New York of that era, of the 40s and 50s. And it gives you some insight into his sense of humor, too.
Nichols also won the admiration of young, up-and-coming New York City free jazz musicians such as Archie Shepp and Roswell Rudd. He passed away, however, just as those artists began their ascendancy in the early 1960s. Frank Kimbrough.
I often wondered, for instance, if he'd have lived another year or two, would he have been a part of, say, the Jazz Composers Guild? Because, you know, Archie Shepp was acquainted with him. Roswell was acquainted with him. Steve Swallow played with him early on in his career. I just really wonder, but I think because he was drawing from Herbie's music is really fusion music, as is most jazz. Not the electric fusion that people associate with that word. You know, Return to Forever or Weather Report or late Miles Davis or what have you. Not that. I'm talking fusion in the most literal sense of the word, because he was fusing jazz and classical music and African music and everything that was within his grasp. You know, music from his parents' homeland and in the West Indies. This is all stuff that was just part of his life, and he found a way to integrate it all into this thing that was his compositions.
Herbie Nichols died of leukemia at the age of 44 in 1963. Before dying, he entrusted some of his unrecorded compositions to trombonist Roswell Rudd. It was Roswell Rudd who said, "Anyone who plays or even contemplates playing a song of Herbie's is making this planet a better place. This music teaches us many things, but most importantly, the sanctity of our minds and our imaginations." The Herbie Nichols Project in Strange City. That's Herbie Nichols' Change of Season, performed by the Herbie Nichols Project from their 2001 Palmetto release, Strange City. We also heard the title track from that CD just before that. Thanks for tuning in this evening to Nightlights, and special thanks to Frank Kimbrough of the Herbie Nichols Project. Join us next Saturday at 11:10 p.m. for Tis Autumn, featuring the music of Nat King Cole, Billie Holiday, John Coltrane, Billy Eckstein, and others, including Jack Kerouac reading his piece October and the Railroad Earth. Production support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee and Juice Bar. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Pascash and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.